Okay, today's daf is Yevamos Daf Tes Zayin. Today's shiur is sponsored by the Shul, the Beis HaKnesses of North Woodmere, in honor of the upcoming dinner, honoring me and my wife. For more information about the dinner and the Yad Journal, visit bknw.org. We are holding on the bottom of, on the top of Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. We were going through the 13 different rayos, whether Asu Beis Shammai Kedivrehem or Lo Asu Beis Shammai Kedivrehem. Did Beis Shammai in themselves Paskin Lemaisa, what they actually held, what they Paskin, or was it just in theory? So we went through 12 Rayas already. We're going to go through the 13th and final Raya, and that 13th and final Raya is going to lead us into a discussion that occurred between Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas and a group of Chachamim who came to visit him, and that's what most of our daf is going to focus on, that event when these Chachamim went to visit Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas and the ensuing conversation. It's going to lead to a discussion about three things that were said by Chagai Hanavi, one of them relating to Tzaras Erva, which is our main topic, obviously. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about the pasuk of Nar Hayisi Gamzakanti, where the phrase Nar Hayisi Gamzakanti, who originally said it, and we're going to talk a little bit about what the status of a guy who has a child with a Jewish woman, what the status of that child is going to be, whether there's an issue of Mamzerus. So let us begin on the top of Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, Tashema, Raya number 13, whether Beis Shammai was Asu Kedivrehem or they were not Asu Kedivrehem. Tashema, Bimei Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas, Hutra Tzaras Habas Liachin, that during the days of Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas, they were Matir at Tzaras Habas, they were Matir at Tzaras Erva, to do Yibum to the brothers of the deceased husband, to allow for Yibum like the Shita of the Beis Shammai. Shema Mina Asu, Shema Mina, must be because Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas, in some way, we'll see in the Hemshech of the Gemara exactly how, in some way was a Talmud of the Beis Shammai, or wanted a paskin like the Beis Shammai, and once he had the ability to impose that psak on others, so that became the accepted psak, and they followed the sheet of the Beis Shammai lemaisa. That's what it sounds like. So we see that the sheet of the Beis Shammai actually was asu kedivrehem, and it wasn't just a theoretical statement, but whenever they said something, they actually were asu kedivrehem. Gufas, says Gemara, let's analyze what exactly happened with Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas. Bimei Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas, Hitiru Tzaras Habas La'achin, Vaya Dover Kasha L'Chachamim, Mimrei Shechacham Gadol Haya. And this was very difficult for the Chachamim, that he was Matir at Tzaras Erva, because he was a Zakein, and he was a great Chacham, Ve'ein of Kamu, Milava L'Beis HaMedrash, and he was blind, so he wasn't able to come to the Beis HaMedrash anymore. So Amru, Mi Yelech, they said, V'odio, who's going to go and let him know that he's wrong, that we don't paskin this way, and that this is not okay for him to allow a Tzaras Habas to a Tzaras Habas or any Tzaras Erva to do Yibum. It's not okay. Someone has to let him know. Someone has to go visit him. Amar len Rabbi Yeshua ani elech. So Rabbi Yeshua says, I volunteer. I'll go. Va'ach Rav mi, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And who goes next? It can't just be one rabbi that goes. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah follows. Va'ach Rav mi, Rabbi Akiva. And then after that, Rabbi Akiva is the one that chooses to go. The Marsha discusses why Dafka this order, Rabbi Yeshua, and then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and then Rabbi Akiva, and he explains Rabbi Yeshua went first because he was the most chashuv of all of them, he was the Av Beis Din of the generation, so he's the one that has to go first. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because he was the second most chashuv, he was the Nasi, and the Nasi goes after the Av Beis Din. And then Rabbi Akiva, because he was the third most chashuv, because he was known as a famous gadol, as we're going to see in the Hemshech of the Gemara, Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas and his brother, both when they meet Rabbi Akiva, they say, oh, you're Akiva ben Yosef, Sheshmo Holech Misof HaOlam Atzofo, that apparently he was very famous. He was the one that Shmo Holech Misof HaOlam Atzofo, that his name was very well known. Now Rabbi Dosa only knew Rabbi Yeshua because he was the oldest amongst the group. He was from the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai from before the Churban Habayis. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was very young. He was appointed as a Nasi after the Churban Habayis when he was only 18 years old. So he was obviously very young. Rabbi Yeshua was much older. Rabbi Kiva was also very young at that time because Rabbi Kiva was around at the time of Ben Kuziva, Bar Kokhba, and that was many years after the Churban. So Rabbi Yeshua was clearly the oldest in the group, and we're going to see as the story proceeds that Rabbi Dosa only knew Rabbi Yeshua. He didn't know the others because they were much younger. Halchu v'amdu al Pesach Beso, they went and they stood by the doorway to his house.
Nichnasa Shivcha, so Amrlo, Rebbe Chachmei Yisrael Ban Netzlcha. So Shivcha saw this group of rabbis standing at the door, and she went in and she told Rabbi Dosa that there's a group of rabbis that came to visit you. Amrlo, Yikonsu. So he said, let them in. V'nichnasu, they went in. Tafsul Rabbi Yeshua Vashivu al Mita Shal Zav. When he saw Rabbi Yeshua, he didn't see, but when he realized that Rabbi Yeshua was there, he grabbed him, he sat him down on a golden bed. He wanted to show him a great cover, he sat him on a nice golden chair. Amrle Rabbi Amar l'Talmidecha Achar V'yeshev. Rabbi Yeshua says, don't forget about the other rabbis. Tell one of the other guys that he should sit also. Amrle Miu. He said, I don't know who the other guys are. Who is that? Who is with you? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is here. Amar V'yeshlo ben Azariah Chavirenu. What? Azariah, my friend, has a son. So again, you see, like the Marshal said, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was very young. He didn't know the younger generation. He knew the older generation. He was a zakein. He was a zakein. So he said, Azariah, my son, has a friend. So he said about him the following pasuk: Nara'isi gamza kanti v'lora'isi tzadik nezav v'zaru mevakesh lachem. That I was very young and now I got very old, and I don't see a tzadik who's poor and whose children have to look for bread. Meaning, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was very rich. So Azariah was rich. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was very rich. So he thought this was an appropriate pasuk to say about this family of tzadikim who were also ashirim. That not only was his father rich, but we don't see that zaru mevakesh lachem either. We don't see that his child has to ask for bread either. Tafsuv Shival Mita Shalzav. So he sat him down on a golden chair as well. Amrle Rebbe, Emor l'Talmidecha Achar V'yeshev. Said, no, but there's still another guy here. There's a third rabbi here. Tell the third one also that he should sit. Amrle Yumihu. He said, who's the third rabbi? Akiva ben Yosef. It's Rabbi Akiva. Amrle Atuhu Akiva ben Yosef. Shashim Cholich Misof Olam Batsofo. Shev ben Yishev. Kamoscha Yirbu B'Yisrael. You're the Akiva ben Yosef who's so famous that everyone knows about your story. You should sit down in a bracha that there should be more people like you in Klal Yisrael. It's interesting. He didn't say that to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It was a different bracha to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He just commented Zarim Vakish Lachem. But maybe Kamoscha Yirbu B'Yisrael relates to the Baal Tshuva element. That someone who's able to grow later in life and able to do tshuva like that, that's kamoscha yirbu b'Yisrael. His chilu misavim also b'halacha sachi gil tzaras abbas. So they started to discuss matters of halacha with him, and all of this was just a echitimtza to get to the halacha of tzaras abbas. That's what they were there for, to try to set him straight about tzaras erva, where he was being matir tzaras erva to do yibum, and they didn't want that to happen anymore. But they didn't want to just attack. They came in and they started discussing other halachos. Especially, the conversation started off so pleasantly. He was saying such nice things to all of them. So they started off with pleasant conversation in Torah, and then they got to Tzaras Abbas. Amr Leh, Tzaras Abbas Mahu. So he said, Rabbi Dosa, what do you think about Tzaras Abbas? Amr Lehen, Machlokas Beisham and Beisilal. He said, what do you mean, what do I think? It's Machlokas Beisham and Beisilal. What do I think? It's Beisham and Beisilal think. I have nothing to say. Halacha Gedivrei Mi. No, who do we paskin like? Machlokas Beisham and Beisilal. Amr Lehen, Halacha Beisilal. So he said to them, what do you mean? Halacha is like the Beisilal. We always paskin like the Beisilal. Now that took them for a surprise, because the only reason they were there was because they heard that he was going around paskining like the Beishamai, that the Tzaras Abbas can do Yibum. So Amr Lehen, Valo Mishimcha Amr Halacha Beisilal. Really? We came here just for that? We were told the whole time that you hold that the halacha is like the Beis Shammai. Now you're telling us that the halacha is like the Beis Hillel? Amar Lehem, he said, wait a second, this happens all the time, I get this kind of confusion. Dosa shamatem o ben Arkinas shamatem? Did you hear in the name of Dosa, or did you hear in the name of ben Arkinas that the halacha is like the Beis Shammai? Because it could have happened, his name was Rabbi Dosa ben Arkinas, but Arkinas had other sons also. He said, this happened, everyone assumes when they hear something in the name of ben Arkinas, they always assume it's me, but I have a brother also who's a rabbi, who's ben Arkinas. This happens all the time. So Amar Leh, Chai Rabbi Stam Shamanu. They said, no, we heard Stam. We heard Ben Arkinas. We didn't hear that it was specifically you. We didn't even know that there was another Ben Arkinas. Whoever heard of the other rabbi Ben Arkinas? So we assumed it was you. Amar Lehem, Ach Katan Yeshli. Oh, I have a little brother, B'char Satan, who, and man, he's trouble. He can fight with anybody. Now, he doesn't mean he's a great Talmud Chacham, but he's very adversarial. V'yonason Shemo. and his name is Yonasan. Vuhumi Talmidei Shammai. He happens to be from the Talmidei Shammai. So it's very likely that when you hear something of the name Ben Arkinas and it seems to go like the Beis Shammai, that it's not from me, that it's from my little brother. And you're going to start debating him and you're going to lose. Because you're going to go and you're going to discuss in halacha, he's going to have 300 rayas, like the Shitas Beis Shammai, that it's Tzaras Habas, is mutter to do Yibum. So you better be careful when you have this conversation with him. With me, I was nice to you and I hold like Beis Hillel anyway, but with my brother, he's going to go after you. He says, but I can tell you that with all of his rayas and everything he has to say, the Shemayim and Aretz could be made for me, that this is something that was already discussed in the days of the Nevi'im. Chagai HaNavi, we have a tradition that Chagai HaNavi already involved himself in this halachic issue of what the status is of Tzaras Habas. Va'amar Shlosha Dvarim, and Chagai HaNavi arrived at three conclusions, one of which is about Tzaras Habas. Conclusion number one he arrived at is Tzaras Habas Asura, that a Tzaras Habas cannot do Yibum, a Tzaras Erva cannot do Yibum, like the Beis Hillel, not like the Beis Shammai. Second thing that Chagai HaNavi said, which is unrelated, but we're going to get into it a little bit, is Amunu Mav Ma'asin Ma'isur Ani B'Shvius, that during the Shemitah year, people, Jews who live in the lands controlled by Amun and Moav, should take Ma'isur Ani. Generally speaking, the halacha is that during years 1, 2, 4, and 5, those are Ma'isur Sheni years, that after taking Truma Gedola and Ma'isur Rishon, we take Ma'isur Sheni and we eat in Yerushalayim. During years 3 and 6, they're Ma'isur Ani years, so after Truma Gedola and Ma'isur Rishon, we take Ma'isur Ani and give it to the Aniyim. And year 7 is a Shemitah year, and during Shemitah, everything is Hefker, and Hefker is Pater from Trumas and Ma'isurs. So there's no Trumas and Ma'isurs whatsoever during a Shemitah year. That's when we're dealing with land that has actual Kedusha Saritz Yisrael. But some of the surrounding lands don't have full Kedusha Saritz Yisrael, but Midrabanan, the Rabbanan were instituted that they should take Trumas and Ma'isurs as well. Now, for those lands, there's no Shemitah in those lands, in the lands surrounding Eretz Yisrael, because it doesn't have Kedusha Saritz Yisrael. So we're not going to say that during the seventh year everything is Hefker. And therefore, the Takana, the Rabbanan, that they have to take Trumas and Ma'isurs as well, applies for all 7 years, not just for the first six. But what do we do about that after you take Truma Gedola and Ma'isur Rishon? What do you take then during the seventh year? There are no rules for Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael, everything's Hefker. So we don't know whether it would be a Ma'isur Sheni or a Ma'isur Ani year. It's all Hefker, so it's a nothing year. But what about in the lands of Ammon and Moab, where it doesn't have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, but you still have to take Trumas and Ma'isurs? What do you do during Shemitah? So one of the things that Chagai HaNavi concluded was that it's a Ma'isur Ani year. That during Shemitah year, they would take Ma'isur Ani in the lands of Ammon and Moab. And the third thing that Chagai HaNavi concluded was Mekablum Gerim Min HaKarduyin Umin HaTardumim HaTarmudim, that we're Mekabel Gerim from these different nations, from the Karduyin and the Tarmudim, and we don't assume that they're Mamzerim. These are Benos Yisrael that became pregnant from Ovdei Kochavim. There were Rabbanon, and we'll see in the Hemshech of the Gemara exactly who, but there were people that held that when a guy marries a Jewish woman and has a child, the child is a mamzer, and therefore we should not be mekabel gerim from them. But Chagai HaNavi came to the conclusion that that's not so. The child is not a mamzer, and we can be mekabel gerim from these nations where there was a significant amount of intermarriage. So Tana, kishenichlusu nichlusu Pesach Echad. When these three Rabbanim, when Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva went to Rabbi Dosa ben Arkinas, they all came in the same door as the Gemara had said previously. They were stood by the front door until the maid let them in. Kishayatzu yotza b'shlosha pesachim. But when they left through three different doors. Now Tosis explains, why did they leave through three different doors? Shlo yimatzim kulam yachad v'yikapchem ba'alachos v'yitzdarchu l'kvoa halacha kamoso. They were afraid now of this brother, Yonasan, who holds like the Beis Shammai, whose mother was apparently very, very bright, and has all these riots against them. He didn't want them to be able to meet all three of them at the same time, because if he could convince all three of them at the same time, or he can outsmart all three of them at the same time, then they're going to have to be koveh halacha like the Beis Shammai, and they wanted to avoid that. So if he can only get one of them at a time, the others can escape. Inami yatzu begimel psachim kdei sheyimtzu uviyishmu tshuvaso. Or no, they were scattering around to find him. They dafka wanted to hear what he had to say. This sounded intriguing. He has 300 rayas that he could say like the Beis Shammai. So they dafka were scattering around in order to be able to find. Marsha says a different reason that they left in three different doors. Marsha says this was all about etiquette, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah should have really gotten first because he was the Nasi. Rabbi Shua was the Av Beis Din, and normally a Nasi is called them Av Beis Din. It's just that Rabbi Dosa knew Rabbi Yeshua, so that's why Rabbi Yeshua had to enter first, because Rabbi Yeshua was the only one that Rabbi Dosa was familiar with. But by the time they left, there was no reason for Rabbi Yeshua to go out first before Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But on the flip side, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah didn't want to be murdered Rabbi Yeshua from his status, meaning if on the way in they were mechabed Rabbi Yeshua to go first, wouldn't it be nice to not be mechabed him to go first on the way out. But at the same time, Rabbi Yeshua wasn't going to go first on the way out. He was going to honor Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was the Nasi, and the Nasi comes before the Av Beis Din. Rabbi Kiva was a gadol b'chachma. He certainly shouldn't go out last. So they decided that they were all going to go. The only way to satisfy everybody, instead of having everyone just try to be Chabi, the other guy, is that they all had to go out through three doors. That the etiquette mattered a lot to them, the way of showing kavod to each other. Reminds me how Rabbi Tendler talks about how when Rabbi Moshe used to stay by him in Muncie, and Rabbi Yaakov would come, in Rabbi Yaakov's later years when he was in Muncie, he would come to visit Rabbi Moshe, and they would sit and talk, and then when it was time for Rabbi Yaakov to leave, Rabbi Moshe would walk Rabbi Yaakov all the way back home. And then when it was time for Rabbi Moshe to leave there, Rabbi Yaakov would want to walk him all the way back. They had to just say, okay, you know what, just stay here till Motzei Shabbos, stay here till, because that was the etiquette. That was each one wanted to always be mechabed the other one. So that's why Marsha says they walked out through three different doors. But Pagaba Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the first to meet this Yonasan ben Arkinas. Akshilei v'ukmei. So he finally was able to convince him, though. Rabbi Akiva was able to show him that we pass like the Beis Hillel. Amar lo, atu Akiva sheshimcha olich misofo lematsofo, ashrecha shezachisa l'shem, v'adayin lo igata l'roi bakar. And Yonasan says to him, you're the Rabbi Akiva that everyone talks about, that is so famous, you're so fortunate that you got such a good name, that you have such a good name out there, such a wonderful reputation, but you should know that you're not even like the roi bakar. Not even like cattle herders. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, afilu roi tzon. Rabbi Akiva says, forget about roi bakar, halavai, I should be on such a level. I'm not even like roi tzon. I'm below the level of roi tzon. So this is obviously a very cryptic conversation. They must be talking about something. What exactly are they talking about? Marsha says that Rabbi Dosa Rabbi Yonasan ben Arkinas was referring to what he heard from Rabbi Dosa's brother, that he had a Kabbalah from Chagai Anavi to Asir Tzaras Habas. So Rabbi Yonasan ben Arkinas was saying, don't be sumach on that Kabbalah. Chagai was from the end of the Nevi'im, and that Kabbalah didn't come from the Nevi'im Rishonim, who there was some Roe Bakar amongst them, like Amos Hanavi, who said Ki Boker Anochi, that he was a Roe Bakar. And Rabbi Kiva responded, I got this Kabbalah not just from a Roe Bakar. This Kabbalah goes all the way back to the ultimate Roe Tzon, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is a Roe Tzon, because this is a Gzer Shava of Aleha and the Drosh of Litzrar. That's where we learn to Aser Tzaras Habas. It goes all the way back as a tradition to Moshe Rabbeinu. So don't tell me that it only comes from Roe Bakar and therefore I don't have to rely on a tradition from the Nevi'im. This comes from the Adon Kala Nevi'im. It goes all the way back to the Roe Tzon. And I agree, I'm not on any of those levels, but it goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was on a level, so we have to listen to what Moshe Rabbeinu had to say. That's how the Marsha explains the conversation. Maritz Chai says a little differently. He says that Rabbi Akiva was Ma'aber Shanim in Chutz La'aretz. We know about that the Gemara in Brachos of Samach Gimel says Rabbi Akiva was Ma'aber Shanim in Chutz La'aretz. He would add an Adar Beis onto a year, even in Chutz La'aretz. And the halach is that someone who's Ma'aber Shanim Chutz La'aretz is benidui. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, and the Gemara sounds that way in Brachos. But in Eretz Yisrael, anyone is allowed to be ma'aber shanim in the lashon. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Ches is afilu roe bakar are allowed to be ma'aber shanim in Eretz Yisrael. But it's dafka got to be an Eretz Yisrael dika thing. But it could be even roe bakar could be ma'aber shanim. That's what the Pirkei Rav Loza says. Mikan amru afilu tzadikim v'chacham b'chutz La'aretz v'roe bakar v'tzon ba'aretz. If you have tzadikim and chacham in chutz La'aretz and you have roe bakar and roe tzon in Eretz Yisrael, Ein ma'abr mesashanim el al yedei roi bakar v'tzon ba'aretz. We were only ma'abr the shanim using the roi bakar and the roi tzon in Eretz Yisrael, not the tzaddikim and chachamim in Chutz La'aretz. So that's what Yonasan was telling him. Listen, you're famous. Shimcha olech misofo l'matzofo. You're all over the world. Everyone knows about you. you shouldn't be ma'aber the shanim in chutz laretz, because your mile is not even as great as the roi bakar. You're a great chacham, you're much greater than the roi bakar, but your mile in terms of being ma'aber shanim is not as great as the roi bakar. And in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Kiva responded, Rovan Vasnuso, that he didn't even get to the Madrega of Roi Tzon, which is a lower level than Roi Bakar. Roi Tzon are Pasul Eidus. They're not only Pasul, they're not only Stam, a lowly profession, they're Pasul Eidus, because the assumption is that there's Gezel B'Yadam, that they always allow their sheep to graze in other people's fields. So that's what the Gemara says in Baba Kama, Defiant Test, that Roi Tzon are Pasul Eidus. Rabbi Kiva, Rovan Vasnuso, said, not only am I not like the Roi Bakar in Eretz Yisrael, I'm not even like the Roi Tzon, which is a lower level. Now, the other two conclusions of Chagai Hanavi are what the Gemara turns to now. Now that we finished the Tzaras Erva issue for now, so we turn to the other two statements that he had. Amunu Moav Ma'asun Ma'asur Ani B'Shvi'is. Amunu Moav, take Ma'asur Ani during the Shemitah year. Damar Mar, Harbe Krachim Kavshu Ole Mitzrayim V'lo Kavshu Ole Bavel. There were a lot of areas that were conquered by the Ole Mitzrayim when Yeshua brought us into Eretz Yisrael, but the Ole Bavel did not reconquer after the first Korban Abayis and Golos Bavel. Ukedusha Rishonu Kitchel L'Shaita V'lo Kitchel L'Yas Lavo. The original Kedusha from the days of Yeshua is not an everlasting Kedusha, doesn't stay, so even though those areas were conquered in the days of Yeshua, they no longer have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. But v'inichum kedesh yismuch aleim aniyim b'shvias. But the Chum still said that we should take Shumas and Maisos from there, so that at least during the Shemitah year, the aniyim will get a Maisar Ani, will be a little bit of extra food for the aniyim. So that was halacha number two that Chagai Hanavi said. Halacha number three, umekabum gerim min akarduyim v'hatarmudim, that we're mekabal gerim from the karduyim and the tarmudim, we do not assume that they are mamzer. Didn't we learn that from Rami Bar Yecheskel that we are not mekabel gerim from the karduyim? Amravashi kartuyim itmar. No, that was said about kartuyim. Kedamri inchi kartuyim psulim. That kartuyim are possible. We're not mekabel gerim from kartuyim, but that should not be confused with karduyim, from who we are mekabel gerim. V'igad amri tali Rami Bar Yecheskel ein mekabel gerim in kartuyim. My love, hainu kartuyim, hainu kardumim. Some had the version of the conversation where we start with Rami Bar Yecheskel, where he says that we're not mekabel gerim from the kartuyim, and we say, isn't it natural to assume that kartuyim and karduyim are the same? Am Ravashi lo, kartuyim luchud v'karduyim luchud. They're two different things. Kartuyim are one people, karduyim are other people. Kadamri inchi, kartuyim psili. Like we always say, kartuyim are possible, but karduyim are not possible. Rabbi Yochanan v'savi adami tarvayu, ein mekabel gerim min tarmudim. That Rabbi Yochanan says we're not mekabel gerim from tarmudim. Now we said one of the conclusions of Chagai was that we are mekabel gerim from karduyin and from Tarmudim. Rabbi Yochanan is now saying that no, we're not mekabel gerim from Tarmudim. In fact, the top Tosos on Amud Beis, which really belongs in Amud Aleph, says Tema Hechi Polig Rabbi Yochanan Chagai Anavi. Who authorized Rabbi Yochanan to argue on Chagai Anavi? V'shemas of Rabbi Yochanan Shloam Rechagai Meolam. It must be that Rabbi Yochanan did not have this tradition that Chagai Anavi came to this conclusion. Otherwise, he would never have argued. He must have held that Chagai never said it. But Rabbi Yochanan holds that we're not mekabel gerim from Tarmudim. Frankly, Gemara, does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that way? Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Vatnan, but didn't we learn in the Mishnah? Kolak samim habayim min arekim tahorim. Any kesem, any stain that a woman has on her garments that comes from rekem are tahor. The halacha is that a non-Jewish woman who has a stain, the stain is not going to be tamei. There's no tumas nida by goyim. So the whole gzeir of ksamim is only going to be by Jewish women. So any stain that comes from rekem that are found on begadim that come from rekem are tahorim because it's assumed to be from non-Jews. Rabbi Yehuda mitamei mnei shem gerim v'toim. Rabbi Yehuda, however, says that they're tamei because their blood is tamei because they had a legitimate gerus once. It's just that then they were hemir das. They then left the religion, but no one could ever leave the religion once you have a legitimate gerus. They're Jews forever. Mibeno of the kachavim torim, but stains that come from mibeno of the kachavim from definite non-Jews, that's for sure tahar. Va'avinon ba kapasik v'tani mibeno of the kachavim afilu mina tarmud, and we said really all stains from of the kachavim are tahar. even from Talmud, from Rabbi Yochanan, Zosa Maris, Mekabel Gerim Mitarmud. And Rabbi Yochanan says, from here we see that we could be Mekabel Gerim from Talmud. We don't assume that they're Jewish Mamzerim. We assume that they're non-Jews. The fact that we assume their stains are Tar means that we assume that they're full-fledged non-Jews, and therefore we could be Mekabel Gerim from them. If we were Choshish that they were Jews who were Mamzerim, we would never be able to be Mekabel Gerim from them. But bottom line is that you see it's Stira and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan previously said that we're not Mekabel Gerim in HaTarmud. Now he says we are Mekabel Gerim in HaTarmud. V'chitem azos v'lo sfirulei. And if you're going to say, no, Rabbi Yochanan was just commenting that Zos of Meris, that this would lead us to the conclusion that we're Mekabel Gerim, but I happen to not hold that way. V'am Rabbi Yochanan alach stam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan says that we do paskin like a stam mishnah. So it sounds like he does hold that way. And says the Gemara, Amarayin in Nivalibid Rabbi Yochanan. It's a machlok samarayin, what Rabbi Yochanan held, whether we are Mekabel Gerim from Talmud or not. Clearly, though, the issue is, the Gemara is going to explain, what was the problem, what was the potential concern with being Mekabel Gerim from Talmud? It was a concern of Mamzerus. Why would we be concerned that there's Mamzerus? So, frankly, Gemara, Mi Talmud, my time below, why would we not be Mekabel Gerim from Talmud? Pligibar Rabbi Yochanan v'Savya. This was a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Savya. Chadam mishum avdei Shlomo v'chadam mishum benos Yerushalayim. Whatever it was a concern that there were non-Jewish men sleeping with Jewish women having children. And the assumption was that when you have a goy haba al bas Yisrael, the vlad is a mamzer. Now we obviously don't paskin that way, but that was the assumption of this concern of being mekabel gerim from Talmud. That in Talmud there were a lot of people who were the products of a union between a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman, and the concern was that they were Jewish and they were mamzerim. And that's why we don't want to be mekabel gerim from them. So if you say the concern is, you formulate it as a concern of Avdei Shlomo, what that means, Avdei Shlomo, is that there were servants from Shlomo Mel's palace who were non-Jews, and they lived there as Avdei Kochavim, and they went and married Benos Yisrael, and therefore the children are all mamzerim, because we're working with that assumption that the vlad is going to be a mamzer. Now Tosfos raises the question. He says, why do you need to say that it's mishum mamzerus? They're avadim, and avadim are asur b'Yisraelis. So that alone should be enough. If you're going to say that anyone who's not allowed to marry a bas Yisrael, the vlad is going to be a mamzer, so forget about the mamzerus issue. You could just say that it's mishum avadim that there's an isser. So Tos says yeshlom dim stam nesiyashu abaylemehem. Probably they lost the status of avadim because whoever owned them was already miyayish from them, and we're working with the assumption that all you need is yeyush baylem, that you don't need to get shichra for an eved once the baylem has been miyayish and never recovering them. Elamandiyam mishum benos yisrael mayhi. But what's this concern of benos yerushalayim? What's this concern of benos yerushalayim? Pligibar of yosef rabban v'tavayim shmei derab. One says there was 12,000 men, 6,000 plus another 6,000 archers. Another one says, no, it's 12,000 men amongst whom were 6,000 archers. When the Ovdi Chavim came into the Heichal, Hakol Nifnu Al-Kesef Izav, most of the people that went in were looking for gold and silver. They were looking to loot. But this group of 12,000 or 18,000, Machlokas, exactly how many, this group of people instead turned their attention to the Benos Yerushalayim. Shinamar Nashim B'tzion Inu Besulos Ba'are Yehuda. That they went after the Besulos in Are Yehuda. So that was the case of the non-Jews who were having children with Jewish women. And that's the concern of the Mamzerus. But either way, whichever way we view the concern, whether it's the Avdei Shlomo or whether it's the Benos Yerushalayim, the reason we're not Mekabel Gerim from Talmud is because all of those people settled in Talmud, and therefore we're not going to be Mekabel Gerim from them, because these aren't Gentiles, these are Jewish Mamzerim, and that's a much bigger problem. We can't be Mekabel people who are Jewish Mamzerim. It's going to ruin the entire Yichus of Klal Yisrael. Now Tosfos over here in Dibur Maskel Kasavar Ovid Chavim Vevet Abal Vayisrael Avlad Mamzer, Tosfos raises the question about two-thirds of the way into the Tosfos. Vim Tomar Bishlomo Me Eved Havi Mamzer De Be'Eved Ikalav. He says, I could understand how you could suggest that an Eved is Baal Bas Yisrael, that the Vlad will be a Mamzer, because that's a Losa say, that's at least an Issa Daraisa. Granted, it's not Chayav Krisus or Chayav Mises Bezin. Okay, but at least you have Rabbi Akiva, that a lav creates Mamzerus. So at least that's a losa semidar raisa. That's going to create Mamzerus. Elomei Ovid Kulchavim, Mamayav Mamzer. But why, when it's an Ovid Kulchavim that's Baal Bas Yisrael, should be a Mamzer? Bezin Shal Shem Gazru, Midar Raisa, Bias Heterhu. This is a Gzera Midrabanan of an Ovid Kulchavim, Baal Bas Yisrael. That's not even a Nisidar Raisa, Midar Raisa, it's a Bias Heter, Tosfos assumes, which is a remarkable assumption that Tosfos is making. But he makes the assumption that an Ovid Kulchavim, Baal Bas Yisrael, is not even a Nisidar Raisa. It's only a Nisidrabanan, a very early Nisidrabanan, but it's not even a Nisidar Raisa. If it's not a Nisidar Raisa, how could it possibly create Mamzerus? So Tosfos has two answers. Number one, he says, Vyeshlomar, Afakav to be as heter he, midar raisa, bitsina, mikomakom, kivin to tafsiba kidushin, havi mamzer. Kimo be'evet. He says, even though it's a bias heter, the first answer is on a daraisa level, it's a bias heter, but whenever there's no tfisas kiddushin, whenever it's someone who cannot have kiddushin, it's going to create mamzerus. Even though the bia may not be aser, there certainly can't be a marriage between an obit chavim and a bas yisrael. And that's what defines mamzerus. Why is it that chayav krisos, chayav misus bezin, the offspring is a mamzer? Not because of the chomer iser, but because there's no tfisas kiddushin in chayav krisos and chayav misus bezin. That's why the vlad's a mamzer. So over here, there's no tfisas kiddushin, the vlad's going to be a mamzer. Inamito says in the next line, me'ovid chavim lavi mamzer elamid rabbanan. Maybe a nechinami. It's not mamzerus daraisa. It's only mamzerus midrabanan. And it's just that every time we mention Eved, we also throw Ovid Kochavim in the mix as well. And those are just two things that go along. It's like Grusha v'Chalutza always go together. Eved v'Ovid Kochavim always go together. But it's not going to be a mamzer on daraisa level. It's only going to be a mamzer on a drabana level. Rav Shachter quotes this Tosos in a very fascinating piece in Eretz HaTzvi, in Simet HaZayin, where he starts with the Kasha, the Piskei Tshuva. Piskei Tshuva says, Ani Mistapek. Now, Piskei Tshuva should not be confused with the Piskei Tshuva, which is on the bottom of Yerodea. Piskei Tshuva is 19th century standalone sefer, a fascinating collection of different tshuvas. Also not to be confused with the Piskei Tshuvos, which is a more contemporary sefer. So in Piskei Tshuva, in Simenai and Dalit, in the Haris HaMalakit, Simenai and Dalit, he says, Ani Mistapek. If someone is Baal and Erva, and they have a mamzer, and then the person who did the Bias Isser did tshuva, and we believe tshuva works, right? Certainly tshuva me'ava turns zdonos into zechuyos, it turns all your averos into mitzvos. So now is the kid no longer a mamzer? Because it's not a Bias Isser anymore. The child's not a product of a Bias Isser. The father did tshuva, and once he did tshuva, now became a mitzvah. He had done a great mitzvah with that bia, because all the averos turned into mitzvahs. We believe tshuva works, right? So let's put our money where our mouth is. The kid shouldn't be a mamzer anymore. That's what the Piskei Tshuva says. So Rav Shachter points out that first of all, we don't assume that Bezin Shalmata accepts tshuva. There's only one case where Bezin Shalmata accepts tshuva, and that's the Rambam in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The Rambam assumes by an Ir Nidachas that when we're about to make a city into an Ir Nidachas, so the Rambam writes, we send Shnei Talmid Chacham to warn them and to cause them to do tshuva, and the Rambam writes, Im Chazru Vasu tshuva, Mutav. If the city does tshuva, then fine. Then they're not going to become a Nira Nidachas if they do tshuva. And the Ravid over there says, Tova davar shetolem tshuva. The Ravid says, look, I'm the biggest fan of tshuva in the world. I think tshuva is a wonderful thing. Avaloma tsasi tshuva moeles achar ahasra umaisa. But where do we ever find that tshuva is going to work after you got hasra and you did the avera? Then after that, tshuva is going to work? It never happens. You can't come into Beis Din and say, the Beis Din says, you killed someone, and say, no, I did tshuva, it's okay, I'm good now. No, if you got hasra and you did the maisa, you can't do tshuva. So Rav Shachter explains with the Rambam, what the Rambam probably means is that the Mishnah, when it formulates the qualifications of an Ir Nidachas, when the Mishnah in the Parachelik in Sanhedrin says that Anshi Ir Nidachas ain't lem chelik le'olam haba, that's not just a statement of fact that Anshi Ir Nidachas don't have a chelik le'olam haba. What it's saying is that one of the qualifications of an Ir Nidachas is you need to be a city that doesn't have a chelik in olam haba. When a person does tshuva, by definition, he has a chilek in Olam Haba. So they no longer meet the criteria of an Yirin Yidachas. Yirin Yidachas is not just about getting Asra and doing the Avera and taking a poll and seeing whether the majority of the city did the Avera, did the Avodah Zarah. No, there's more criteria than that. One of the criteria of an Yirin Yidachas is they have chilek in Olam Haba. If they did tshuva, they're yesh lem chilek in Olam Haba, they can't be Yirin Yidachas anymore. That's the only place tshuva works in Beis and Shlamata. So that's one mahalich. But then says Rav Shechter, who says that just because the Bia was no longer Bias Isser, and you did tshuva, now it became a mitzvah, that means the child's not going to be a mamzer? According to our Tosfos, at least the first answer of our Tosfos, mamzerus can be created even without a Bias Isser, even when there's no Isser Doraisa. The Gaya Baal Bas Yisrael Tosfos says, you're right, it's Mutter Midoraisa, there's no Isser Doraisa. But still it's going to create a situation of mamzerus. So you see that Tosos has this issue, whether you can have mamzerus al yidei bia that has no avera, and Tosos assumes at the end that the first answer that they gave is the more correct answer. And therefore you could say that even if you say that Beis and Shalmata accepts tshuva me'ava and treats it like he never did the bia asura, but still the Vlad's going to be a mamzer, because the Yetziras mamzerus has nothing to do with the bias iser. It has to do with what the relationship was, but it may be with a tvisas kiddushin, but it has nothing to do with a bias iser. Then he goes on to explain how this is really tully in two deos in the Gemara later on in daf memheim and beis. But Bez Hashem, maybe when we get to memheim and beis, we'll explain that side of it. Fascinating insight. So if it says the Gemara further now. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Yeah, that's right. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, second wide line. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Pasuk Zeh, Sara Olam Amru. Once we mentioned previously that one of the comments of Rabbi Dosa Ben Arkinos when he saw Rabbi Dosa Ben Azariu was that Nari Isi Gamzakanti. So he said, let's track back that statement of Nari Isi Gamzakanti. Who was the first one to really say it? It's a Pasuk in Tehillim, but where did it come from? David HaMelech composed many of the Pasukim in Tehillim, and a lot of the other ones, there were traditions of things that were said by earlier people that he had just put pen to paper. So Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Pasuk Zeh, Sar HaOlam Amru. This was said by the Sar HaOlam. Nari Isi Gamzakanti, a certain Malach, who's Sar HaOlam, Rashi says it's a Malach. Man Amrei, who could have said it? Ilei Mekutcho Brichu. You want to say that it's Hashem saying it? Mika Zikna Kamei. Is there any Zikna by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu never becomes a Zakein. So obviously it's not referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking. Vela David Amarei, Mikashish Kulehai. It couldn't have been David who said it, because it would be a lie. He was never Zakanti. He never really got that old. I don't really understand that question. David HaMelech lived to the age of 70. Ben Shishim L'Seva, Ben Shivim L'Zikna. So if Ben Shivim L'Zikna, he did get to Zakein. I mean, Zakein is, it's not a matter of what's polite and what's politically correct to call someone old, or how old the person feels. There's a Mishnah that tells you what the age of different things are. So Ben Shivim L'Zikna, so he did get to Zakein. I don't know why we can't assume that way. I don't know. But Elish Shemamina Sara Olam Amru. But it must be that the Sara Olam said it, that it couldn't have been anyone else. It had to be the Sara Olam that said it. Vam Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amram Yonasan, Maiduch Siv, Yodo Faras Tsar Al Kalmach Madeha. What does the Pasuk mean when it says that the enemy went after all of its precious ones? Ze Amunumav, Bishar Shenichnusu of the Chav Nahechal, Hakol Nifnal Kesav Zav, Veim Nifnal Sefer Torah. It was Amunu Moav who, when everyone else was looting the Beis HaMikdash and was interested in the Kesav Zav, they turned their attention to the Sefer Torah. Amru Zeshaka, that's the Kol Machmadeha that they went after. That's the precious gem that they went after, the Sefer Torah. They said, Zeshakasubo lo yavo amoni moavi bikal Hashem, yisarif be'esh. They were insulted by what it says in the Torah, that it says, lo yavo amoni moavi bikal Hashem, that we're not allowed to be accepted into the congregation of Israel. So even as they're attacking us, as they're going after us, as they're persecuting the Jewish people, what ultimately it stems from is a jealousy, that they want to be part of the Jewish people. So they decide to burn the Torah. Tziva Hashem li Yaakov svivav tsarav. What does that pasuk refer to? Amarav kigon Homanya l'fum nahara. It's like Homanya and fum nahara. What does that have to? What's Homanya and fum nahara? So Rashi explains. Bahomanya yavanim heim umetzirin l'vnei fum nahara shem Yisrael emaniim. That these were two neighborhoods where there were Greeks in one neighborhood and Jewish aniim in another neighborhood, and the Greeks would persecute the Jewish people. And the understanding of the pasuk is that Hashem says that svivav tzarav, that even in Golus we're still going to be surrounded by the same enemies, and they're still going to be going after us. The same enemies that we used to have in Eretz Yisrael that would go after us are going to still be going after us in Galus.
If an Ovid Kochavim does Kiddushin on a Jewish girl, we're choshesh that it might be a valid Kiddushin.
Because we're not certain that he's really an Ovid Kochavim. Maybe this Ovid Kochavim is from the Aseres HaShvatim, from the 10 lost tribes. So, in fact, the Gemara called the Parish Miruba Parish. Why do you make the assumption that he's from the 10 lost tribes? Shouldn't you assume the Rov? And Rov are Ovid Kochavim, are really Ovid Kochavim. They're not lost Jews. And says Gemara, we're talking about a place where the Bnei Aseres HaShvatim settled. So if it's a place where they settled, then we have the right to assume that it might be from the 10 lost tribes. Rashi explains, because even though Rov of the Kavim kol kavua kemechtsal mechtsadami, whenever something is kavua, we assume it has the status of 50-50, even if the statistics are otherwise. If statistically it would be Rov of the Kavim. Tosa says, no, kol kavua kemechtsal mechtsadami, that would mean that if the Ovid Kavim leaves his house to go sleep with to go and be Makadesh the Bas Yisrael, then he's called the Parish Miruba Parish again, and he would have a din of an Ovid Chavim again. He says, no, Bedut de Kavi means in a place where we have a tradition that the Aseres HaShvatim settled, where they're not the minority, where they're probably the Rov. The Rov is not Ovid Chavim in such a place. The Rov is actually Yisrael, and therefore forget about Kol Kavua. Even if it's called the Parish, they are the Rov, and that's why we have to be Choshesh for Kiddush. Okay, Bez Hashem will pick up from that point tomorrow.